Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. Eventually, we're going to get to verse 4 of Malachi chapter 4, the verse that talks about how to transform a society that is in spiritual decline. That's certainly the society in which we live. But there are still a couple of things I think we need to consider from the first three verses before we move on to verse 4, because once we move on, we'll not be returning. So let's make sure that we consider all the things that we ought to before we leave this behind. You recall that in Malachi chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, you have a description of what's going to take place on a final day of judgment. And verse 1 talks about what happens to the unrighteous, and verses 2 and 3 talk about what will happen to the righteous. And here's what it says. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But, verse 2, to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves, and shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. There's a great day coming. And in that day, the unrighteous are going to be exposed, and they are going to have the judgment of Almighty God pronounced upon them, irrevocably. It'll be too late in that day for any reprieve. But on that day, the righteous are going to be exalted, they're going to be vindicated, they're going to be honored, they're going to be shown to all of the universe that they are the precious, precious jewels that God considers his own treasures, and they're going to be vindicated in that day. And why? Is it because they are such remarkable specimens of goodness and righteousness and good deeds and all of that? Well, there's going to be a measure of that, because salvation does bring about changes in our lives, no question about that. There will be a measure of that. But the real issue is going to be whether you have humbly submitted yourself to the Word of God, to the Son of God, to the salvation of God, or whether you have proudly resisted him and gone your own way. That's going to be the difference. Have I said anything about the day, which is Wednesday, March 25, and welcome you to the Beacon broadcast, and thank you for your help in allowing us to continue teaching on this station because of your financial support. If I've said it twice, forgive me. If I failed to say it, I needed to say it now. Well, we've already seen that these verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, tell us that the way of salvation is not by good works. There will be a great contrast in that day between good works and evil works, but salvation is not by good works, but it is by humble submission to divine authority, in contrast with pride that will not bow, that will not submit. But what else we need to understand is that in that day there are going to be some surprising revelations. There are going to be some surprising revelations to those who reject the Bible and embrace human wisdom. The world is filled with people like that, who know something about God and something about the Bible. Probably not as much as they think they do, but something about it. And they have decided that it is not worthy of their allegiance, and they have embraced human wisdom in its place. I can't believe the Bible. I choose instead to believe whatever. For some people, it's science. For some people, it's something else. And from time to time, I say some things about the deception of science, and I don't want you to conclude from that I don't value science. I actually do. I value it very highly, as long as it is understood properly within its proper context, where it is valued for doing what it is capable of doing. But it is not capable of giving us ultimate answers about God and about salvation and about eternity. There are many things, and not even about origins. It really can't give us firm and reliable answers about these things. That is beyond its realm. And when science tries to do what it is not capable of doing, then it becomes a serious problem. And there are many people who have chosen to follow that erroneous line of human reasoning based upon a misunderstanding of what science is and what it's truly capable of accomplishing. You need to realize that both in the past and in the present, some of the world's leading scientists have been, and even now, are Bible-believing Christians. They're not well-known, and there is a very deliberate effort to suppress those and to continue with the fiction that that's impossible, that if you believe the Bible, you can't possibly be intelligent and you can't possibly be a good scientist. But that is not true. And in the past, some of the greatest advances in science have been made by those who were Bible-believing Christians, and to probably a lesser extent, but still to a genuine extent, that's true today. Still going on. But in that day, we're talking about the Day of Judgment, there are going to be some surprising revelations to those who reject the Bible and embrace human wisdom, and are counting on human wisdom to enable them to escape from the things that are said in the Bible. Sorry. More than once I've had conversations with people about eternity, and they've said things to me like, well, I don't believe in hell. And they say it in such a way that it's like, end of discussion. If I don't believe in it, then I don't have anything to worry about. Isn't that crazy? Hasn't been all that long ago that a small island, I think in New Zealand, or maybe Australia, off the coast of one of those countries, unexpectedly a volcano erupted and killed instantly everybody who was on the island. Now, I don't think anybody lived there, but people went there as tourists, and there were a number of people on the island when that happened, and they were all destroyed. Now, they might have said, every one of them, that they might have been told, it's perfectly safe. There's no possibility that the volcano will erupt. It has been dormant for who knows how long. I visited the volcano on another island, and I was told those very same things. This volcano has not erupted in X number of years, and there's nothing to worry about, and perfectly safe to visit it. And you could see the smoke rising up out of the volcano. But we went. We accepted that wisdom. But assessment of human wisdom, but that was no guarantee that we were perfectly safe. All of that was wrong. The tour guides who took people to that island as tourists to allow them to look at it and assured them it was perfectly safe, according to their understanding of science and according to the best of human wisdom, They were perfectly safe, but believing that didn't make them safe. They were wrong, and it erupted and killed them. Now, that's just an illustration, but dear folks, just saying I don't believe in hell, or I don't believe in God, or I don't believe in Jesus Christ, or I don't believe in the Bible, doesn't mean that you are safe. Oh, that day is going to be a day when those who reject the Bible and replace it with human wisdom are going to be utterly surprised and without remedy. There are going to be surprising revelations to those who misinterpret God's word and embrace counterfeit notions that are not taught in the Bible, all the while claiming that they are believers in the Bible. There are going to be some surprising revelations to some who profess Christ and seem to follow true biblical religion, but have never really bowed the knee of their heart, to use a rather strange expression, have never really bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. It's all a charade. And sometimes that kind of charade convinces the people who are involved in the charade. Going to be some surprising revelations to people like that in that day. And something else we learn in this passage is the need for patience for divine vindication. We want vindication now. But this tells us that the vindication of the righteous must await this day, this final day. Until then, there's no guarantee that we're going to be honored or vindicated before the world, but on that day we will. On that day we will. We want vindication now, and sometimes, foolishly, engage in unchristlike behavior in order to try to manufacture vindication. And that is very, very foolish. We don't need to make sinners our enemies. Jesus was the friend of sinners. Followers of Jesus should also be friends of sinners. We get riled up because of what's going on in the world around us, and sometimes we lash out. It's wrong. It's unrighteous. It's unfair. I'm tired of being the butt of jokes and even worse from those who hate Christ, and because they hate Christ, they hate Christians, and I'm a Christian, and I put up with this long enough, and I'm going to start fighting back. No, 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 no. Except with the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the weapons of warfare which He has given, but not with carnal weapons. We don't fight, and we certainly don't succeed if we fight with those. All we do is make a mockery of what we say we believe. Yes, it's hard to be patient and wait for the day of vindication, but it's coming. It's coming. The Bible teaches us that first there will be tribulation and trials and persecution for those who follow Christ. But the day is coming. First the cross, then the crown. And so we continue to bear patiently, waiting for that day. And that day is coming. For behold, the day is coming. The first line of verse 1 of chapter 4. Behold, the day is coming. God said so. It's true. It's coming. Be ready for it. Be certain that you are trusting in the Word of God and in the Son of God alone for your salvation, for your cleansing, for your righteousness in that day. And wait patiently for that day. And in that day, all will be well. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.